And that is so true. You will find that to be true as a Christian. No one. You've got people that care for you. You've got loved ones. You've got people that love you. But no one, no one like Jesus. And that is so true. Praise the Lord for that. Well, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 26. I do ask you to kind of bear with my voice. We started out the week with kind of a cold and coughing and the whole thing. And then compounding that problem, we had the Roanoke basketball tournament the last couple days. And compounding that problem, we put two teams in that tournament to try to help them out. They had a team cancel right at the last. So I had the opportunity to coach six games in the last 2 days. And but I'm so quiet now and peaceful and loving, and it's just so much different. But still, it's a lot of talking and teaching and praising the Lord and rejoicing. But but anyway, we did have a good time, and our young people did so well, such a good testimony. Other schools came up and talked about our young people and just the good testimony they were. And we were able to handle adversity and defeat on Friday night. Really, just it just was good. Great game. Went down to the wire, but we just kind of ran out of gas. I mean, it just, you know, you just keep going and going and going, and finally you just say, whew, you know. And anyway, it was a great couple of days. But the voice is a little bit tired, and so kind of bear with maybe a squeak here or there, I suppose. But this passage, just a great passage of Scripture. It's not, you know, it's one of those I praise the Lord for, because it's not, you know, it's not Paul's greatest time of his life. I mean, it does. We do get into his salvation, which is the greatest day. But mainly, I'm kind of keying on before he got saved, and God chooses to show us what he was like. And we all know that he persecuted the church. He was known as Saul, and he persecuted the church. And he talks about in verse 4, my manner of life from my youth. And just from the time he was a child, you know, he's talking about how he grew up, and he grew up very religious, but he's persecuting Jesus. That's very, very clear. In verse 15, Jesus says to him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he talks about, this is my manner of life from my youth. And so much of his story is a story of persecuting the cause of Christ. And, you know, I'm going to talk about scars this morning, but I want you to think about the fact that many of our scars do come from our youth. Many of our scars, and youth can be, you know, whatever age you choose to call it, but certainly a lot of my scars come from my youth. A lot of my spiritual scars and different things is when I was younger and made some mistakes. I think God, that's why God says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I think that's also why God says, flee youthful lusts. Because he knows that we will do some things in our youth that maybe we would not do as we get older. And they'll leave some scars. By the way, young people, that's why God gives you parents. And that's why God gives you authority and people over you to try to help you. And you say, well, I don't like it, but they love you and they're trying to help you and trying to keep you from making mistakes in your youth that will be a scar in your life. And so I want to talk to you about scars, and especially thinking about Paul and his life before he got saved, and certainly some scars in his life, some things certainly he regretted, and just kind of challenge you with that today. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts, and we need your help, Lord. We need to hear from you, from your word, and certainly I pray that you will guide us into your truth now. Please help us to be different because of today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Of course, Paul persecuted the church. He lived a wicked life in that sense. And in this passage, certainly he's not exalting his sin, but I think he mentions it as a scar. It's something that certainly he regrets. Now, it did lead up to his salvation. Praise the Lord for that. But it was something that he would regret. And as I think about his life, I think about his life as a preacher. You know, here he is standing before people to defend himself and to explain his position and how he got saved. And he has to go into that. Hey, I persecuted the church that I now preach for. I persecuted the people that now support me. I was after them. I attacked them. I had them killed. I gave the orders and they were killed. I persecuted them. And he's saying, but God changed me. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. But he said, these things are still this is part of my life. This is part of my past. You know, everybody here probably has some physical scars. Maybe when you were a child, you fell down, or maybe you got in a wreck, you had some surgery, and you have these physical scars, and some of them are very vivid. You know, you try to cover them up. You don't want anybody to see them. They're scars. Some of them are very ugly scars. Others are maybe not so noticeable. They're not so bad. And the truth of the matter is, God could always heal us where there is no scar. Have you ever wondered why we have to have scars? Why those have to be there? And you think about, you know, some of those scars that you have. And God certainly could make our bodies heal so that there never would be a scar. And yet, He doesn't do that. And you know, you ever wonder why? Well, I think He does. I think He doesn't totally remove them, because it kind of protects us and makes us remember why we got the scar. And so that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. You know, when you get saved, God does make you a new creature. And old things are passed away. Thank God for that. And our sins are forgiven. And God can use us. That might be the greatest miracle in the world, that God could use us. We know what we are. We know what we were. And yet God saves us. And God wipes a slate clean as far as the way He looks at it. But every now and then, you know, and all of us, we have some things that are scars. For example, you know, we spend a lot of time. We had people saved every week in the prisons. We see folks trust Christ in jails and prisons every week. I know the Letsons pretty much every week at the campus. They'll see somebody saved and they'll trust the Lord. Now, as soon as people that have violated the law, as soon as they get saved, they don't just automatically get out. Hey, I got saved, and now you're going to let me out of jail, right? Wrong. No, they have a scar. Now they're saved. They've got Jesus in their heart. They're going to go to heaven. I mean, if they ask the Lord to save them and forgive them, hey, God will forgive their sins. God will save them. God will give them new life. But they have a scar now. They still have to serve their sins. In fact, sometimes, you know, I think there is a mentality that, well, you know, if I become religious, you know, they'll let me out of jail. They don't. It doesn't work that way. And it shouldn't work that way. There's still a sentence that has to be served, and it is just simply a scar. I've counseled many folks in jail. And, you know, well, I'm saved now, and God loves me. Why don't I get paroled? Why don't they let me? Well, you know, you have a scar. It's a scar, but God can still use you, and God can still use you there. I've led people to the Lord with, for example, led somebody to the Lord once that had AIDS. And, you know, God didn't just, as soon as they got saved, God didn't take away the AIDS. God doesn't take away that disease. God doesn't necessarily, okay, everything's fine now. No, they have some scars. And you and I, we all know exactly what that is as a Christian. I have some scars. I have some things. Boy, I wish I hadn't done that when I was a teenager. I wish I would have made a different decision when I was a young person. And those scars are there. And I think, you know, God, you could have just taken all that away. And yet, we have scars. We have scars. And I want to just give you some points as to why I think maybe God leaves the scars. And those scars are still there. Number one, the first reason I think is to remind us of the pain. You know, if you have a scar, there was some pain involved. If you have a scar, there was something, you know, if you had this gash on your arm or this jagged scar, you know, on your body somewhere, there was some pain involved there. Maybe you had your appendix removed and now there's a scar there, and you had some other kind of surgery and there's a scar. I mean, every time you look at that scar, you know, and it reminds you, well, boy, that caused me a lot of pain. I mean, I had a hard time with this. I remember when I was 12 years old, and how many of you remember 10-speed bikes? All right, boy, I remember when those first came out. I had to have a 10-speed bike. And, you know, that was a big thing. First was the 5-speed bike. Well, first there was just a bike. You remember bikes, just bikes, you know, no speed, you just pedaled. And then they had the 5-speed bike. And, boy, that was something else. And then they came out with 10-speed bikes. Now, I don't know how many speeds they go. You know, does anybody know how far they go now? 20-speed? It's just, I mean, you know, yeah, it's just hard to imagine what difference it really makes. But I had to have a 10-speed bike, and I got a used bike and kind of fixed it up and everything. And I was all excited about taking these bike rides, and my buddies all got 10-speed bikes. And, you know, when you're 12, you can't drive. You're kind of that age. You want to do some things. And so we might ride 40 miles, you know, in a day. and thought that was a pretty big thing. And we had our 10-speed bikes, you know, and you downshift to go up hills. And then when you're going down, you put it in that higher speed. And, boy, you can really pedal and go fast and everything. Well, I'll never forget one time I was riding from, I believe it was Marion, Indiana, where we lived. And I was riding up to LaGrow. And you don't know where LaGrow is, and you don't want to know where LaGrow is. It won't change your life knowing where LaGrow is. But it was about 20 miles there and 20 miles back, and we were out here in a country road, you know, and riding along real fast. Well, real fast, that's relevant. But I thought it was pretty fast. And all of a sudden, these dogs came out. Now that's the biker's fear. I mean, you know, dogs coming out, and we were going. I was going the speed of light. And but the thing is, I wasn't worried about a dog biting me, but that shouldn't have been my worry. One of those dogs got in front of me, and remember those 10-speed bikes had those little skinny tires, about, you know, real skinny tires, so you could really go fast, and they're lightweight and everything, and I was then. But I'm riding along real fast, and those dogs came out, and you know, nothing, and none of them took my leg off or anything, but one of them got right in front of that front tire. I know, you're all thinking, oh, that poor doggy. No, poor Dougie. Because I hit that thing, and I mean, you come to a very sudden, and I mean, I hit my elbow on that pavement, and it tore that thing. I mean, it was bad. I'm not going to get into, I don't want you to feel too bad. I don't hear any ooing or awing at all. Thank you. But I mean, it was bad. And I still, to this day, there is a scar on my elbow. In fact, when our kids were little, they would play with that scar because it's kind of puffy. And they'd look at, and I'd tell them, you know, the story, and I'd always get into gross details and say, oh, it was so bad. And they'd hold that, oh, poor dad, oh, that's so sad. And I love that. And of course, my wife, I'd tell her that as well and get pity. But I mean, this thing, if you cut your elbow real bad, it's gruesome. And there's blood everywhere. And you know, back in the, you had those handlebars that, wait, I'm going backwards. I don't even remember how they are now. But anyway, you hold here and you had your brakes here. And so you're like this. And that blood was running down my arm. Now, you know, when you're 12 years old, you're past the stage of crying, although you want to. You know what I'm talking about? And I really wanted to, but you know, you got to be cool. But there's blood everywhere running down my arm. And by the time, you know, I'm in a lot of pain, but I'm starting to think, oh, this is going to be good. You know, because there's, and sure enough, I mean, my arm was covered and it was all dry and everything. And mom, I mean, you talk about getting pity, and moms are always good for that, giving you pity when you're hurt like that. But then reality set in. And if you've ever had a cut on your elbow, you know that healing is not easy. Because every time you move that elbow, it goes, it opens back up, and it starts bleeding again. And sure enough, there is a scar. Now, I'm going to tell you, for months after that, I would see that scar, and I would look at that scar. Of course, I kept feeling it as it broke open again. And every time we would ride our bikes, I mean, if a dog was anywhere near, slow down. You'd rather get bit than wreck, you know? And that scar reminded me of pain. And for many, many years, I thought about that. Even when I got my first motorcycle and was riding, and, you know, dogs come out, and they, you know, that's in the back of my mind. All right, be careful, these dogs. You know, be careful of gravel and anything that might cause me, because I remembered the pain that I went through with that elbow. And how did I remember that? Because there's a scar there. And even to this day, now, you know, bicycle days are over. My wife's trying to get me to get a Harley. We used to do a lot of biking. We're thinking about doing that again in our old age. But get one that has a cover over the top and protection all around. Anyway, but air conditioning and heat and saddlebags, and she wants a sidecar that lays down. And no, but constantly I would look at this thing, and I would think, boy, that brought me so much pain, and I would be more careful. You know, I can't help but think of Samson after his sin, and of course him being captured by the Philistine, but his eyes being put out. And all that time grinding, and I love the verse that says his hair began to grow again. You know, God was going to use him again, but he had to think about that all the time. The scar of sin, the scar of the pain of sin that took place in his life. And certainly, if you have some scars on your body, it reminds you of pain. If you have scars in your life, it'll remind you of the pain of sin. I think God lets us. You know, I think Paul often would go back and think, you know, I wish I hadn't done all that. I want to do right. I wish that boy, that this brings a lot of pain. Can you imagine the first time he got up to preach in front of Stephen's parents and Stephen's family? Well, he's the one that gave the order for Stephen to be stoned. Now here he is, a Baptist preacher. Well, and here he is going from church to church, and these are people he personally, and you know they're wondering, should we have him over? Boy, what a scar. And it reminds, you know, that old life. Oh, I made more money. Oh, you know, I was popular. Oh, I was a big shot. But it's not worth it. It's not worth the pain that sin brings. And folks, it's not worth it. It's all you have to do, if you would just think back to the pain that you've gone through and the pain that sin has brought into your life, you'd say, I think I need to do right. Scars remind us of pain and remind us of the pain of sin. You know, I read about those and I know people who are dying of AIDS. And, you know, what a sad, and they've gotten saved. They've trusted Christ. But because of a lifestyle that they chose before, you know, how sad. I've counseled women, many, many ladies who tell me of waking up in the middle of the night and weeping over an abortion that they had when they were younger. And oh, preacher, if I wish I hadn't done that. Okay, well, listen, the devil lied to you then. He still lies to you today. Don't listen to the devil. Take your scar and let it remind you that sin always brings pain. Always brings pain. And that scar is a reminder of that. Scar from smoking, a scar from alcoholism, a scar from immorality, a scar from divorce and different scars that take place. You know, I think about that fella that was I believe it wasn't this last Christmas, but the Christmas before, that fella that was driving, and it was right before Christmas, and he was drunk, and he got on the interstate the wrong way and killed just about the whole family. And you say, well, you know, that's a terrible thing for the family, and it is. It's so sad. But I think about that guy in prison thinking about that over and over and over and over. And you say, well, you shouldn't feel sorry for him. I, again, it's a scar in his life. And you know what? He can be saved. And he can serve God, but he's going to be in prison, and he'll remember that. How sad. But again, if you have scars in your life, they should remind you of some kind of pain. Some kind of pain. Again, Paul is preaching in churches that he persecuted. Paul is preaching to people who he had their loved one killed. Paul is preaching. Paul is now serving the God who he persecuted. Jesus said, hey, it's you persecuted me. And he has to be thinking all over and over and over again, well, I just need to do right. You can almost read it in Romans 7. He's so frustrated with sin. And you know, I try to do right, but I do wrong. And I think in the back of his mind is, hey, I don't want any more scars. I don't want any more injury from sin. I want to just do right. Christian, hey, listen. Look at the scars in your life and the things from sin. It has burnt you over and over again. It has never done you right. It'll always do you wrong. The wages of sin is always death. There's always injury from sin. There's always separation from sin. There's always pain. There's always hurt. There's always many people affected from sin. And you and I, we've got to look at our scars and say, okay, this brought me pain. And I'm going to stay away from it. I'm going to do everything I can to stay away from it. Number one, scars remind us of pain. Number two, they remind us not to make the same mistake. They remind us not, okay, whatever it is that brought this scar on, I need to walk a little bit different or go a different direction. They remind us not to make the same mistake. I've got a scar on my knee. No, you can't see it. You wouldn't want to. But I've got a scar on my knee. It's still there, and it was when I was 5 years old. We used to remember ice cream trucks? I think they still have them. I just don't listen. Amen? That's a bad thing. But the ice cream truck used to come, and boy, you'd hear it, I mean, blocks and blocks away. And that thing was coming, and my mom, I'll never forget, mom told me, she said, "Now, son, you just wait." Well, I wanted ice cream, and I had my money. You know, and I think you could get an ice cream cone for a dime, maybe a nickel back then. I don't know, but I had my money, and I wanted to get some ice cream, and I was all excited about it. Mom said, "Now you just wait on me," but I got in a big hurry, and I decided to disobey mom, and I did my own thing, and I ran, and I fell in some stones and gashed my knee open. You know, it's always areas like that, elbows and knees. Those are not good places to get cut, never. You know why? Because it moves, and it keeps popping open again and everything else. And sure enough, boy, I gashed that knee wide open. And you know, it took a long time for that to heal. It brought a lot of pain. But I decided, you know, maybe I need to slow down just a little bit here. And especially that area where I fell. You know, I watched that thing very, very cautiously from then on. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. You have too. And where there are scars, it should cause us to say, "Wait a minute, that brought me some pain and a problem before. Maybe I need to reevaluate doing that again. Maybe I need to stay away from that." I think about you know, this is a good example of when Angela was younger, and she was it was actually my birthday, I believe, wasn't it? My birthday, and she was we were having an auction of some kind, a church, one of those donation auction things or something, and there was we were at the in the back annex of the church, and we had a big parking lot out there, and Brenda told her, she said, "Now, Angela, you just stay right here on this porch. Do not go out in the parking lot. There's cars coming in and out and everything. You just stay right here." And sure enough, you know, somebody brought a dog or something. The dog got loose, so Angela, it was her job to go get the dog. She runs out there, and somebody came around, and she fell and hit the bumper of a car and knocked out her two front teeth, busted them in half. You know, happy birthday, Dad. It was a Saturday. Had to go, you know, the emergency to the dentist and the whole thing. And again, you know, here you lose your front teeth. That's a bad deal when you're a young person. But you would, again, you know, hey, if you have a scar, if you've done something, then don't do it again. I say this all the time. You know, what good is it to make a mistake if you're not going to learn from it? I mean, you might as well learn from whatever you did wrong. You might as well learn to okay, again, just like the first point, avoid sin. If you don't learn from the dumb things that you do, then you shouldn't do them. There's no sense in it. There are folks in this room that are successful today because you did something unsuccessful once and you learned from it. You have a scar and you look at that scar and it reminds you, it reminds you of the trouble that you got into, and you stop and say, "Well, you know, I think I'll do it different this time." And so many people have made good decisions because you can look back and say, "I made a bad decision, but I'm not going to do that again." People who are caught in a lie, you know, and the pain that brings. I don't know if there's anything more uncomfortable than being involved in a lie. And then you lie to get out of the lie, and it's deeper. And then you get approached on that, and you lie to try to get it. Now you're really deep. You know, and boy, what an uncomfortable thing that is. What a scar that is on your life. Learn from it. Learn from it. You know, how bad it felt and how awkward it was. Learn from that thing. I remember the guy very, very clearly that had a cancer in his throat, and they had to put a hole here. And he had that cancer from smoking. Never forget the day that I saw him take a cigarette and put that in the hole and smoke through that little hole right there. You know, here's a guy who would not learn. from the scar that he had. I mean, he's lost his throat. He's lost his ability to talk. He's got a hole right here in his throat. But he wouldn't learn from that. You know, folks, learn from the scars that you have. Learn that, okay, this was a bad deal. This didn't work out. This was not a good thing. And I'm going to do it different this time. And we need to look at the result of our sin and decide, okay, I'm going to do this different. I'm going to obey God. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion always gets you in trouble. It always messes up parts of our lives. Many of us have scars from rebellion. Many have scars. Many. You have a scar on your insurance policy because of rebellion. What are you talking about? Speeding tickets. You know, and they say, okay, you got 5 years. All right, well, 5 years later, you say, well, bless God, it's clear now. And the insurance rate goes down and you go out and get another speeding ticket. And the rates go up. And you say, oh, that's terrible. Learn from it. Learn from the scar. You know, people get in trouble with the law. And you know, as a young person, you always think, I'm immune. I'm going to get away with it. We always think we'll get away with it. You know, and then you got caught. Okay, understand, you're not going to get away with it. And learn from that thing. Learn from that mistake. And decide that you're not going to ever make that mistake again. Number three, scars in the lives of others. We ought to learn from them. Learn from scars in the lives of other people. You know, I watched my parents smoke when I was growing up. And I would watch. And the amazing thing about smoking, you know, you watch people and it was like they'd smoke and then cough. Smoke, cough. And I remember as a young person asking them, why do you do that? It makes you cough. I mean, I've never enjoyed coughing. I don't know about you. I don't like to cough. And I can clearly remember saying, well, you know, why do you do that if it makes you cough? I remember looking at their fingers and where they held the cigarette, it was always yellow. I remember their fingernails being yellow. And I remember, you know, I would watch that and I'd say, why do you do that? Why would you do something that causes those kinds of problems? We were... I don't remember how long ago this was, but Brenda was washing dishes one day, and we had these Coke glasses. I think they were Coke or 7-Up. They were tall glasses, and it was kind of thin. And she was washing those one day, and she got her hand down there, you know, doing a real good job. I always think, you know, as long as you get water in there, swish it around, dump it, it's clean. She got her hand way down in there, and she was in there getting that all clean, and it broke. And she was twisting, and it gashed her right there. And I mean, it was unbelievable. Were we in college then? Okay, I thought we were. And I was trying to study Greek or something like that, doing the deeper things of God. And she comes in their bedroom, and she has this red rag. And the first thought was, we don't have red rags. And she said, honey, I need a Band-Aid. I said, you know, and I'm looking at this red rag, and it's, I mean, it was a white rag, and I mean, there's blood everywhere. And I'm looking at it, I'm very calm. I said, well, I think we probably ought to go to a doctor and have him look. She said, I don't want stitches. I said, well, you know, they'll probably just put a big Band-Aid on it. And I think it took 7 or 8 stitches. It cut way down deep, about cut the thumb off, and blood's everywhere. Blood's good for you to talk about. But I'll never forget, she you know, and it was bad. And I went to the hospital with her, and you know what they do? They want to numb it, right? So they're putting shots in this thing. And I'm standing, and I'm watching. She's crying, you know, I'm holding her hand. I'm saying, be strong, and I'm about to pass out. And you know how that is. And I mean, it was bad. And they had to clean that thing out, and she's crying. They're using iodine. Why do they do stuff like that? You know, it's their torture. And anyway, I had to watch, you know, I didn't really watch, but I had to be by her, holding her hand, being strong. Be strong, honey. And then I don't look. And they're stitching that up. That's tough stuff to watch, honestly. I don't know how you do it. And that's why I can never be a doctor, because you can't do it unless you watch. I learned that, and I decided it doesn't work. But anyway, so I'll never forget. Now, who's going to wash dishes? Yeah, that's right. And I probably had once or twice before, but now it's my turn to wash dishes. And guess what I came to first thing? Those Coke glasses. And sure enough, there they were, Coke 7-Up glasses. And I still remember, it was, I think gas stations gave them out if you got $5 worth or something, which would fill it up. But back then. But I'll never forget, I saw that Coke glass. And I stared at it, and it stared at me. And I stared at her scar on her hand, and stitches are in her hand. And I remembered all the pain she went through. And I looked at that Coke glass, and it looked at me. And I said, you know what? I think we need to throw these out. We did. Never washed one. But anyway, now why? Why wouldn't you go ahead and do that? Because I saw her scar, and I said, I don't want anything to do with that. You know what kind of glasses we use most of the time now? Plastic. Amen. And but I'm just saying, you know, and any time, seriously, any time I wash dishes, and when she's gone, I usually wash them. And if I don't put them in the dishwasher, you guys know what I'm talking about. You wash like 10 dishes in the dishwasher. She doesn't think that we ought to do that. But anyway, I will do that sometimes. But anytime I get where I want to put my hand inside a glass, I think about that scar on her hand always. And I'm very, very careful about that glass because I remember her scar. You know, if we would just look at other people's scars, you know people that have messed up and their lives are messed up. Maybe they were or they still are. And you think, oh, I'm going to try that. Why would you? Why would you? I still remember clearly, I give this illustration often, thinking about Mom's house in Bern, Indiana, and when she had an infestation of mice one year. And I'll never forget, we got all those sticky traps. And I thought, well, it's going to take several days to deal with this because, you know, you only have so many sticky traps. And I think we had five of them. We put them in the garage. And the next morning, 30 mice. And I'll never forget thinking about how could they be so foolish to I mean, there were mice, three in one trap, four in one trap. And I think, did they all just jump in at once? No. No, one would get in and it'd go, ee! You know, making all its noise, and mice scream when they're not happy, and then another one would come and say, "What's your problem?" and you think, how do they do? And yet we do the same stuff. We do the same things. I tell the story about the fly in the spider web, and how I sat in my office and I had a real nice spider web to watch right over to the side. And in fact, all my spider webs are gone now. I had a couple teenagers come and clean my office this week. But anyway, everything's all mixed up. But I would watch that spider web, and that spider, you know, ants would get it and everything. And one day a fly got in it, and I watched another fly buzzing around. And this fly is in the spider web. The spider's about to eat it. You know, it's coming out. And this other fly comes and gets real close like it's watching. And I think, okay, you're learning from this, aren't you? And the fly, I mean, it's not long, and that fly's got its, whatever that's called, paw, whatever it is, its appendage is now in the web too. And I think, and immediately I think of myself. I think, why don't we learn? Look at other people's lives. You know, I tell our teenagers, all I say, look at, okay, you have somebody who's like, oh, you know, they're, boy, look at old so-and-so. Yeah, look at so-and-so. They're not doing so hot. Look at old such and such. Yeah, they're not doing very well. Isn't it amazing? You read about Rockefeller, you know, all the millions and millions and millions, miserable. You read about so many people that have all this money. Solomon said it best. He said, it's vanity. It's empty. My life's empty. I've got all this. And a life is empty. These things aren't going to get it for you. And you read about Hollywood, and there's divorce, and there's misery, and there's drug addiction, and there's suicide, and yet we so many, even Christians, say, wow, if I could just live that life. You read about these athletes, and their lives are a mess, and they're going through all these problems, and we think, boy, if I could just, yeah, I know, we all think we're the exception. What we need to do is look at the scar and say, there aren't any exceptions. It'd be like me saying, well, you know what? Hey, she hurt her hand in the glass, but I'm tough. I can handle it. I'll just do it myself. Wow! That was stupid. You know, it's not smart. It's not smart to duplicate what other people have done. It's not smart to duplicate Every now and then, some young person will say, you know, well, you know, some teen girl will say, well, I think it'd be neat to have a baby. Oh, I just think that'd be so good. And yet, you look around, and they know people that have done that. They've committed that immorality, and their lives are wrecked. They're ruined. And yet, to even think that way, why don't you look at the scars? Why don't you look at the scars of people who you know, oh, that rock crowd, they're doing something. They're not doing well. They're not doing well. Look at their lives. I'm still amazed at how we will look at these people and say, you know, boy, if I could just... It doesn't work. You see people, you know, we've been talking about the poor people, the poor person in the book of Proverbs. And okay, you see someone who has a lack of character and they have nothing. Can't you add it up? Add it up. You know, they won't work. They won't go to their job. They'll lose their job. Add it up and learn from it. Learn from it. When we see people's scars, we shouldn't ignore it. We should say, okay, I'm going to be careful myself in this area. I'm going to be careful. I mentioned my parents smoking, and I never smoked. My parents also were alcoholics when I was growing up. And I so clearly remember as a young person and as a teenager saying, I'm not going to do that. I have no desire to lose control like that. And I saw their scars and made some very good decisions in that area because of their scars. Paul spoke of ugly scars. I believe Christians over the ages have been able to look through and read and understand that, hey, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to be the one that has all these things in my past. I don't want that kind of a life. Scars in other people's lives should help us if we'll just pay attention to their example and learn from it. By the way, throughout the scriptures, and you know, I've had people say, why does God tell all the stories about all these people? You know, David, his sin, and you know, Samson, and I mean, these are heroes, and why does God tell about them? You know, wouldn't it be better to leave that? No, thank God he tells us about that, because anybody that says David sinned and got away with it, you don't know your Bible. He lost the things the most precious to anyone. Don't ever think that you sin and get away with it. Look at people's scars in their life. The last thing is, and I thank God for this, scars don't require the removal of the part that's scarred. You know, when my elbow got hurt, they didn't amputate. Amen? What a blessing. You know, they didn't look at it and say, well, you know, you're going to have a nasty scar, so instead of that, we'll just cut it off right here. Amen. You know, when my knee got, when I fell as a 5-year-old and I gashed open my knee, they didn't say, now that's going to be an ugly, ugly, terrible scar. Therefore, we'll just cut it off right here. Well, I'm glad they didn't do that back then. Amen. You know, I'm glad that my wife, when she went in and she still has a scar on her hand there, and for $5 you can look right after the service, all right? But she has that scar right there. And you know, thank God the doctor didn't look at it and say, oh, ma'am, don't you know that, you know, this is really going to affect the look of your hand, and therefore, we're just going to cut it off right here. No, they didn't do that. And thank God for that. Because scars don't require the removal of the part that's scarred. And just because my arm had a scar, it wasn't useless. Just because my knee had a scar, it wasn't useless. Just because Brenda's hand had a scar, it didn't mean that it was useless. It was still usable. And, you know, that's the lesson that I believe we can learn from Paul. You know, here's somebody that did some things that were just hard even to imagine. As far as Jesus saying, hey, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Saul, don't you know? Hey, I'm the one you're persecuting. I mean, you talk about a scar. But Jesus didn't say, I'm going to cut you off. Jesus said, I want to use you. I want to use you. You know, every one of us has scars. You say, I can't believe what I did. Well, it's done. Now, let God use you. Everybody here has something. You know, I don't care who you are. You say, well, you know, I got saved when I was 5 and I've been perfect ever since. I'd like to talk to your family. The truth of the matter is, you have scars. We all have scars. But God can still use us. Last week I talked about John Mark. And there was a time, John Mark, you know, Paul said, I don't want him. Barnabas said, well, yeah, but we need to. No. He quit. He was a quitter, and I don't want him. But later on, Paul said, take Mark. He's profitable. Praise God. Now, did he have a scar? Well, sure he did. And I'm sure Paul kind of watched him a little different maybe for a while. Make sure he was going to be faithful and he was going to be true. But hey, there came the time that he did say, take Mark, use him. He's profitable. And God was saying, use him. And it doesn't matter what your scars are today. It doesn't matter what you've done, how far you've gone, how bad it is. God can use you. Now, you know, because of a scar, sometimes there are some limits on us, but God still can use you somehow, some way. Again, we use Samson as an example, and you talk about a scar. He lost his eyes. I mean, he lost his freedom, but he lost his eyes, and yet God still gave him a final victory. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, a great, great final victory. Again, we may be limited, but God can still use us. Someone may have told you you're useless. Someone may have told you, well, you know, you've done this or you've done that. You'll never be used. God never says that. God won't say that. And, you know, Isaiah 1:18, come now, therefore, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as crimson, they shall be white as snow. Amen? Amen. I mean, from red as crimson to white as snow, cleansed, forgiven, and you can be used. You can be used. When you get saved, you know, we should try to avoid scars. We should try to do right. We should keep doing right. We should look at our scars. We should say, boy, you know, I did this and this is what happened. I'm going to stay away from that. I did this and boy, this is what happened. Now I better, so-and-so did that and look what happened and I'm not going to do that. But you know what? If you have scars and you do, let God use you. Let him use you. He loves you. He wants to use you no matter what the scar is in your life. No matter what it is. If you're not saved, get saved. Trust Christ as Savior. You know, well, what about my past? It's past. Now move forward. You know, if you have a scar, fine. Can you imagine going to prisons, jails, and I've done it. We have men do it every week. Can you imagine? I mean, here's somebody that, well, I've got a life sentence. How can you help me? Well, I can tell you about Jesus who will give you eternal life. And your life sentence is just a short time compared to eternity in heaven. I mean, you can get saved. Yeah, but okay, you what hope can you give me as a Christian? I'm in jail the rest of my life. You can serve God in jail. I mean, honestly, what else are you going to tell somebody? You can be used by God. No matter what you've done, you just have to let him use you. And if you have a scar today, just look at that scar on your hand. Look at that scar on your leg. Look at that scar maybe on your face. And understand, God or nobody required the removal of that part of your body. But it's just a scar. And that part of your body is still being used. Now your life can still be used. I cannot think of a better example than the Apostle Paul. How God used him in a great, great way. And we just read a passage. Unbelievable how he lived before he got saved. It's just a scar. Just a scar in his life. But boy, what a great, great man of God he became. Used by God, though he had a scar. And that could be every person in this room. In fact, every one of us has scars. I don't care who it is, from myself all the way throughout this building, anybody in here, we all have things. Boy, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, that was a terrible decision. Oh, I can't believe I did. I can't believe I made that choice. Not only before we got saved, but after we got saved. But don't let that stop you. Just move forward. Let's bow our heads, please.